welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. We're recording right now, show number 227. This is the 11th day of March, 2008. And we're at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. Some of us, anyway.
Yeah.
For an hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining. All, of course, designed with the blind in mind. Our host for the show, as always, ladies and gentlemen, Don Patterson and Donald Shaw.
Tom, what's happening today?
How's it going, buddies?
Good,
we're
so
doing
far.
Great, Tom.
Well, good. Everybody's there.
It's a beautiful man. Day. You could have joined us, you know.
Fine weather today.
Oh, God. I just went to the front door a while ago and just looked out just to get some enthusiasm, you know. It really looks good, and tomorrow it's going to be a lot warmer.
I think some of the enthusiasm you got if you'd driven up here.
Oh, well, you know, maybe. But today wasn't the day for it. It's flooded in my yard.
Oh, okay.
I've got mud everywhere.
Yeah, we had plenty of rain.
My name's Tom Houston, by the way, but here he is. Here's the star of the Blind Handyman Show. He's the creator. He's the producer. Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Parr.
I don't know about this star of the Blind Handyman Show. They're not liking that. You get dirty looks.
They don't like that.
Every time you do that.
Yeah, since I'm at the computer here, I'll just mark that off. Yeah, let me draw a line.
Yeah, just put creator, because I get a dirty look from both these guys when you say the star. They don't like that at all.
Well, I mean, we've also come down in status. Somebody used to introduce us one at a time, and now it's kind of a joint thing. So a joint effort.
Co-host, you know. And I thought, save a little of my breath here.
You made some changes in the intro on your own.
Well, you know me. I'm the adventurer.
Just kind of read it like...
read it like I wrote it.
Charlie wrote it.
We've been doing this, 200 and something shows.
I guess so.
I'm still reading the intro.
This is 227, in fact, today.
Yeah, 227. And I still read the intro, so that tells you something about my memory.
So that means at 227, so that means 13, so that means we're up to 187 on Blind Like Me, right?
Yep, that's right.
All right.
That's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
That is amazing.
Well, it is pretty today. Beautiful, sunshiny day in Lufkin, Texas, Burke, Texas, and couldn't be any better. We had a nasty day yesterday, though. Man.
Boy, that's no lie.
It was, did you get any rain? I guess you got rain if you got mud everywhere, Tommy.
Oh, yeah, we had rain all day yesterday. I mean, it just... I didn't think it was going to quit. It was a depressing kind of a day.
Yeah?
Yeah, you look out, and that's all you could see. And, of course, when it rains like that, I'm pretty well stuck in the house.
Yeah. I guess that's true. You go out on the front porch, I guess, couldn't you?
Well, you can go on the front porch if you want to get wet. It's not covered.
Oh, that's right, the front. And you can't get on the back porch because it's a drop.
On the back porch, I can't get out there, so there we go.
Yeah.
Well, one of those things. I want to try an experiment, Phil. I'm going to put this on speakerphone and lay it down and see if it sounds about the same, okay?
All right.
All right, here we go.
It won't work, but we'll let him do it.
All right, it won't work, will it?
Yes, it might. Try it. What's the difference?
Okay, we're on speakerphone right now. Is there any difference?
There is some difference, but it's all right.
Sounds kind of like he's underwater.
Oh.
No, I think we can.
Bad.
You want me to pick the phone up? It doesn't matter.
No, sir, I think we can work with it. Do you have email for us today?
I do indeed.
All right.
Okay, the subject here is covering paneling up that's on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has a wall that has paneling on it. It's the better grade stuff, and he wants to get away from removing it and from putting drywall over it. It's got those grooves in it, therefore I question using wallpaper. Any ideas?
Yeah. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
What's he want to do? He want to recover the walls?
I think so, yeah.
Huh. Did he say he did not want to put drywall?
He doesn't want to cover it with drywall at all. No.
Well, I mean, so he said wallpaper is out, so I'm not sure what he wants to do. You know, I don't know why he all of a sudden doesn't like the paneling, unless maybe the color. My house that I sold when Emily and I got married had paneling, and I painted it, and it turned out to be a really neat job. It was a dark paneling. I painted it very light color.
That is an option.
It took two coats plus primer. But still, it really looked, I mean, it made all the difference in the
world. Well, there are only a few choices.
Yeah, I think if you use...
You can put wallpaper up. you could put drywall up, or you could paint it. That's about it.
Or you could cover it with, you know, you can buy some, I mean, you could buy some pine planks, like, and change the whole motif there if you wanted to do that. Or theoretically, you could put, I mean, I'm reluctant to say you could put some other kind of paneling up, but if you don't like this, I don't know why you would like the other. So
I don't know why you could put wallpaper up. I mean, the places aren't going to be that.
Oh, the grooves would sink in.
You think they would?
Oh, yeah.
And then big guys like me putting their finger in them all the time and
pushing the grooves through, pushing little holes.
Yeah. Now, of course, we don't know about expense, and I don't even know what you call it. But now there is some new wall type coverings. Have you ever been in some of these new doctors' offices or hospitals? The wall feels kind of like a fabric.
Kind of like a vinyl type fabric
I mean, in some kind of road. Now, I don't. You might want to check with the local home builder, handyman type guy, Lowe's or Ace Hardware or whatever, and see what they call that. I've not had any experience with it, but I'll tell you, it sure looks, there's a couple of places that I could see where I'd really like to have it. Like in a studio, maybe, you know, for the acoustic value.
But yeah.
I think it's probably going to be pretty expensive. But
well, there's wall carpet. Believe it or not, there's carpet that you put on
there
the wall. That's very thin carpet. I have it in the rooms in the house. It used to be the studio and used to be the control room. It's on those walls. It's very thin carpet that you can put on walls. But other than that, other than painting, I don't know, what's he going to, you know, why couldn't you? Well, won't you just, could you texture paneling?
No, not make it work. I think we've probably discouraged him enough to where he'll keep the panel.
Probably burn the house.
Probably.
Burn the house down.
Strike
it. Anyway, Steve did a response on it on the list mail.
All right, who is Steve?
And it's not too far off from what you guys were saying. It says, hello, if the grooves are not very deep, a good heavy paper or vinyl should cover okay. If you're concerned that the grooves might show, you might want to fill the grooves first. I've done it both ways. The wall covering adheres to the paneling very well.
Yeah.
You might even want to consider paint. I've also done this with pretty good results. Steve.
What are the choices? Not many.
Not a lot of choices.
He can either take the paneling down, which I don't recommend.
Would be an option, just have insulation or something for your wall. That would be a wild choice.
Put up that wonderful stuff I put on the ceiling at Norris Street.
Yeah.
Put up that stuff. Everybody hated that but me, and the acoustics were great in that room. Wonderful. Anyway, go ahead.
That was that fiberboard. I remember it.
It sure did.
But it looked terrible, didn't it?
Yeah, it looked awful, but it sounded good in there.
I don't know why Luann let me do that. Sounds good, looks bad. I think I was married to her one time.
I think she probably let you do it over there because it was...
She's had for years, and the lid now keeps popping open. Is there anything I can take, or anywhere I can take it to be fixed?
Wait a minute.
Jewelers around here really don't want to deal with them, unfortunately, and honestly, I'm not sure I trust them, as they ruined the watch I previously had, Claudia.
Throw it in the trash can, buy another one, Claudia.
Yeah, there's not a lot you can do. That's been around. Man, cleaning a Braille watch.
I remember when Phil had the Braille watch, from when I first met Phil back in 1973.
Yeah.
It has a little face on it that pops up and everything.
It's a lid that comes up, and you're always going to either break the lid off, or it won't stay down, or it snaps up, and you have your hand in the transmitter, and bingo, you know. Just buy a talking watch and get over it.
And the consensus has been pretty much it'd be more expensive to have it clean than what the watch would be worth to start with.
Probably so. I would, I don't know how. Sometimes you could move those lids sideways a little bit and bend them around where they'd stay closed. But if it's sprung and it won't stay closed, and you can't get a jeweler to fix it, chunk it and buy another one or buy a talking watch.
And let's see if I can get a free T-shirt out of this from Dale Campbell.
Yeah.
BlindMiceMark.com has an excellent talking watch. I just purchased it, $35 and maybe a little shipping. We'll get it to you.
They have many talking watches at Blind Mice Mark.
They do. They have some that are cheaper than that. Do they have this?
In fact, you can get one of those for $20 or so. And
it's a nice little watch with four alarms. Don's has five, though, I think. I'm going to have one.
And, of course, if you get one today.
If Dale could hear us, he'd call right now.
He would.
He would probably be sending our T-shirts
Probably.
I think somebody said he had a lot of blind handyman T-shirts left. I think we can get those at a bargain.
No, I don't want another one. I want something new.
Yeah.
That's right. I've got 6 or 8 blind handyman T-shirts. I wear them all the time.
I really do like, and that would be something worth talking about, I think, on the show for folks that want a really nice clock / thermometer talking. I really do like the thermometer that you guys ordered from Dale over at Blind Mice Mark.
It is quite a thing. It's an atomic clock. It'll give you the time, the date, the indoor temperature, and the outdoor temperature. It has a little probe that you hang somewhere outside, and it wirelessly gives you the outdoor temperature, and it sets itself.
And speaks well.
And the voice everything. Is very good. It's 50 bucks at Blind My Smart. We ought to get something for all this.
Come on. A blind like me baseball cap or something. Is that too much to ask?
We don't have any blind like me stuff, do we?
Yeah, that's right. He needs to get cracking here. He needs to get on the bike.
There's no blind like me merchandise, is there?
There is not.
Well.
No coffee cup. No nothing.
Tommy, what else you got?
Here we are back from that commercial break.
Yeah, that's about right.
This guy says, hi, somewhere I heard that most nuts and bolts that you buy in a hardware store are zinc-coated. Does anyone know if this is true? I need to know this for something I'm going to be doing a little while later. This is Rob from Minnesota.
Zinc-coated.
I don't know.
I never heard that. Coated with zinc on the outside. Why would they be?
That's what this guy says.
I've heard of zinc-coated nails when you go to buy nails, but you got me.
Surely Dale Levins has something to say on this.
No. I printed a little response here from Rob.
All right.
And he says that when he built his deck that he bought the galvanized wood screws, and there's zinc in those screws so that they won't rust out. And that's all he said about it. And that's the only thing I got from that.
What? This guy wants them, but he doesn't. We want. What has he got, a zinc detector he's trying to market? What's the deal?
No zinc.
He didn't get into detail with it.
I wonder if zinc is what the byproduct is, what they'd use in galvanizing. I have no idea. I mean, but maybe it's a rust
inhibitor. It might be.
I would Google that.
Yeah, and Google could be your friend in this situation.
Go see what the see why you do or don't.
That's what I do. I Google everything.
I do. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Google's great.
Maybe his wife is allergic to zinc or something.
Could be.
There's always that.
Well, how long have they been together? I mean, you don't know. It might not apply.
But I'm trying to figure out.
There's that.
Are magnets basically, I mean, would they attract to zinc? Or, like, they won't find a penny, will they? A magnet won't pick up a penny. So, I mean, most bolts and stuff are probably some kind of iron that the magnets will pick up. That's the way. So I have no idea.
Another question we just don't have.
Don't ask us any more like that, Thomas. You're getting one more chance.
Okay. Here's someone who wants to know, is there a product that repels cats? He said, cats like to lay on the top rail of his deck, and it drives him crazy. Please, no funny comments like rat poison. I just want to deter cats from coming into our yard.
I like the suggestion that came to the list about putting the a different shaped top rail on the deck, you know, a pointed top rail or a narrow.
And you couldn't set your beer on it.
You couldn't set your beer on it, but no cats either. So.
I'll know he's not going to like this response, but the way to repel those cats is to get a cat of your own.
Well, yeah, that might be a solution.
Or a big bulldog and put in the yard.
I'd put some hot pepper up there, or garlic or something, and they won't lay up there anymore. What do you think?
I like the cat idea.
Well, someone wrote in, NLG, whoever that is, he said, try citrus. Cats don't like the smell of citrus.
Really?
Also, there's a product called Ropel, and it says, try Googling Ropel.
They don't like citrus. You never see a cat eating an orange, come to think of it. When
really
you get down to it,
you're
having a tangerine for breakfast.
Yeah.
You know, but a lot of this package stuff, like there's some stuff like dog be gone or something that you put in your flower beds to allegedly to keep these dogs. And
really?
I think it encouraged digging. Emily has used that like crazy. And the dogs that are going to dig still dig, you know. The best way to do it, what you could do, well, here's a real honest-to-goodness suggestion, because I'm fixing to do this with my dogs.
Yeah.
A small investment gets you a little electric wire. What people call them electric fence, but really they're made up of one wire. Lay it on the rail, and if cat gets on it, he won't do it but once.
I saw that suggested on the list. Actually, yeah. Someone wrote in and said the same thing.
And it will not hurt the cat. It's not comfortable, but it's not going to injure him or kill him or anything, and he won't be back.
Well, you know, I don't. What's the problem with cat laying on the top rail of your deck?
Well, I guess when you went to set down your beer, it could be. But other than that, I don't know what the problem would be.
I could get a thing and whack the cat and keep it off my deck rail if I wanted to.
You know, I'll tell you, of course, I am a cat lover, have been all my life, but I had rather be invaded by a stray cat than stray dogs.
Well,
I've never had the electric wire, and it's fairly inexpensive investment, and...
That'd do it, but then you'd have to do it and then take it up. You wouldn't want to leave it there.
No, but after a while, believe it or not, you put it... See, we're going to do this very thing. I have a border collie. He's digging in the same spot, and we're going to put electric wire there, and then there's another spot that he digs to, but I can't get the electric wire there, but I'm just going to put a wire. And I bet if he gets nuked by the first one, he won't mess with it.
You figure he'll think, wire? Hot.
Yeah.
Leave it alone.
Mark Twain said. You know, he said a cat won't jump on a hot stove but once. Said, of course, he won't jump on a cold stove either.
Jump on any stove. Well, that's a thought. I don't know. The worst thing in the world wouldn't be having a cat laying on your deck rail, you know.
Oh, there could be lots of worse things than that.
I don't care for cats, but I wouldn't be mean to one. I would run it off my deck rail if I wanted to set my beer there, but, you know.
Well, now, you can have too many. I can attest to that.
Well, you did, didn't you?
Still do. There's way too many out there.
Oh, I thought you got rid of all of them.
And, we did at one time, but a percentage of those have come back.
They've come back to haunt you, huh?
A percentage of them. Not the same cats, but different ones.
Yeah.
And when you're living out in the country, and most of you guys have lived out in the country at one time or the other, you get dumped on out here.
Yeah, it's an ongoing problem, isn't it?
It really is.
Well, and then you're not as able as you.
Because we live kind of in a, we're at a 90-degree curve that's back in a mile off the highway, and we're the only houses back here.
Well, I said it, like I say, kind of facetiously, but we have two cats of our own, so consequently we're not plagued with stray cats, and we have four dogs of our own, so the stray dogs just keep on trucking. They know there's no room at the end, you know?
Well, and then you're not as able as you were. If you were able, you could take them to the pound, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, if I could get out like I used to.
Well, it's time you start getting out like you used to.
You know, well, I'm trying.
We've had enough of this sick stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, I am too, but I'm not really sick. It's just that you've got to have breath to get around.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to sound pitiful here or anything.
Sounds pretty pitiful to me.
I can't breathe.
All of us old folk, I can't put my shoes on hardly without having to lay down.
Oh, man, when I bend over to pick up something, even from my wheelchair, sometimes my old left hip will slip out of place, and raising back up is something else.
Yeah.
It is rough.
Who would have ever believed?
Who would have thought it? All right, we'll give you credit for this week again. Thank you, Tommy. The reason my internet is down, that's why we didn't do Skype today. That's why we're back on the phone.
Yeah, I had my old headset ready to go, and there's a difference. There's a big difference.
Oh, big difference.
It like sounds so much better on Skype.
Oh, yeah.
Really
next
does.
Week, hopefully.
Next week, maybe they'll have it. It's just me. The rest of the city's got internet. I'm the only one that doesn't. Anyway, thank you, sir, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, take care, y'all.
Right, Tommy, we will. And,
later, Thomas.
Let's see if I can clear that. There we go. If I get a dial tone.
Get ready for our guest.
Get ready for the guest whose name is RJ what?
I don't know. That's,
we don't know RJ's last name, do we?
I don't know. I just know he's recently joined the Blind Like Me list and posted a lot of good posts over there. So we're going to talk with RJ and see what he's either cooking or doing some exercise or something today.
Let's get him on the phone, and we'll be right back with more of the Careful Pat, the Blind Handyman. Don Patterson, who's going for a beer. Don, shut up.
Not ready yet.
We don't want our Christian brethren to think you're drinking.
I'm shocked to find out that there's drinking.
Actually, we don't care. We're Don Shaw and Don Patter here, and I'm Phil Parr. We'll be right back with more of the Blind Handyman. Hang on. We're back with more of our little show called The Blind Handyman, show 227. I'm Phil Parr, along with Don Shaw and Don Patterson, and RJ is on the phone with us from, where are you, sir?
Northwest Pennsylvania.
Besides being in the exercise room, you're in Northwest Pennsylvania, huh?
Yes, right there near Erie, Pennsylvania.
Well, it's good to have you on the show. You haven't done the show before, have you?
Yes, I have.
Oh, have you?
Have you?
That's what I said. Like I said, you've done the show before, haven't you?
Yes, you're right.
Long ago. Huh?
I appreciate you letting me be right there.
Yeah, just last week. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
Well, surely, probably not with my memory these days. Probably not. In Pennsylvania, what do you work, or you're retired, I guess, aren't you?
Man, I'm older than dirt. I'm retired.
Well, how old is that?
Well, let's say I'm 71.
Is that
right?
It
will be shortly.
Well, you are older than dirt.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, you weren't kidding. What did you do when you worked, and what's your level of vision? Tell us a little about yourself.
Well, my vision is light perception.
Uh-huh.
If the light's right, I might see a shadow, if I'm lucky.
Is that right?
I used to work in a steel mill, was a landlord, used to do electrical work on the side. Oh, roofing, you name it, I did it.
I bet you.
Really?
I bet you could see when you worked in the steel mill.
Believe it or not, the last 4 or 5 years, no.
I do remember you. I do. Did you drive a forklift ever?
Yes, I did.
I do remember you.
I remember that.
You said you drove the forklift until you just said, to hell, I can't see what I'm doing. I'm going to kill somebody.
No, that was a crane.
Oh, that was a crane. Oh,
okay. That was an overhead crane.
Yeah, I remember.
I do remember you.
The forklift, I drove it until I ran it through a 55-gallon drum, and they said, get the heck off of that thing and don't get on it again.
Yeah.
But you should have quit long before that, right?
I don't know. I could still get through the place.
A lot from memory, a lot, I guess, huh?
Memory and whatever have you. Yeah. Not only that, the last 6-7 months, the guys kind of caught on. I couldn't see, and they were basically saying, go to the left, go to the left.
Really?
Go to the right. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they didn't want to get hit.
Right, and not only that, you got to say one thing. It really helped my mobility out.
I'm sure it did.
Yes. Well, I'm sure it did, but, you know, there are places I could drive a forklift through, and I can't see a thing.
Well, as long as you have a nice open field, I agree with you.
You're not too much in the way.
I'd kind of like to try it, as a matter of fact. I've never driven a forklift, but I'd like to experience that. So, when did all this happen to you? You began loss of vision. What caused it? What happened to you?
Oh, I have retinitis pigmentosa, or Usher's, because I also lost some of my hearing.
Yeah.
And when I was about 20 years old, they told me I had retinitis pigmentosa. They said, you'll be blind by the time you're 29.
Yeah.
And I retired at 51.
So you got about 30 more years out, 20 more years out of them, and they said you were going to.
Yes.
When did you give up that car, RJ?
1977.
I mean, so how old were you in that?
40 years old.
When you quit driving?
So they got that car away from you as quick as they could.
Yeah.
Well, I took the car away from myself, to be truthful with you.
That's great.
Darn near hit a kid. I had a 1976 Ford truck, and by the sakes of God or whatever, I happened to see this ball bouncing out on the street. I slammed on my brakes, and when I stopped, the kid was underneath the truck and didn't hit him. He fell, and the truck kind of high.
Yep.
So I went home, tore up my license, and said, that's enough of this crazy stuff.
And it was. That's good. I mean, it's good. The kid didn't get hurt, and you didn't
get hurt. No, he didn't get hurt a bit.
Yeah.
And I think I was more scared than he was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would imagine. But I see that you have joined our Blind Like Me list. You've been on the handyman list a good while. But you're now on the Blind Like Me list, and you post a lot of recipes to that list. You must cook a lot.
I love to cook. In fact, today I have some guests upstairs who just came in, but that's okay. But anyway, I made pasta fazool for them today.
Yeah. All right. Tell us, how does one make that? What is pasta fazool?
If you would happen to take a nice ham bone and just cook the living daylights out of it and then take some good navy beans or any beans of your choice and throw it in there and have your onions and your carrots and your celery, and, of course, you know how you make bean soup.
Yeah,
right.
Well, there are several ways to make pasta fazool, and it all depends what the Italian family you come out of.
Yep.
But today what I did, I took hot sausage, and I fried that up, and I put some more onions in it and so forth. Then I added the bean soup to it. Then I cooked up some macaroni, and I threw the macaroni in with the beans, and that's what pasta fazool is, nothing but beans and macaroni.
Beans and macaroni with a fancy name, right?
Right.
And you don't have any problem frying sausage yourself as a totally blind person?
No. See, when I retired in 1988, my wife was still a nurse. She was working.
Yeah.
And I threw her out of the kitchen. I said, this is my territory, and I've been cooking ever since.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't want to do that because I want my wife to cook some. I love to cook, but I want her to... You know, I like for her to cook, too, so I'm not...
My wife cooks every now and then, but not very often.
My wife actually surrendered the kitchen. It was not okay. There was no conflict. She said, I hate to cook, and if you'll do that, I'll work as hard as I can elsewhere.
Well, that's about what took place there. But really and truthfully, my wife resented it for about a week. Then I couldn't get her back in the kitchen no matter what I tried. My cooking was too darn good, I guess.
Yeah.
There you go.
But you find frying things is not a problem for you. You don't mind putting your hand down in that skillet and moving things around?
Right. That's how I tell if my sausage is done. It's strictly by feel.
Yeah.
And you get the sense of smell and the feel, and I never cook with a recipe.
Yeah. Also, with something like that, you get a sense of course, when you first put it in and your skillet's hot, it Oh, you hear that all that sizzle.
Nice sizzle.
And when the sizzle slows down, you pretty well got it cooked. You know,
that's
like,
correct. And if you, even a steak, after a while, you can feel that steak and tell if it's medium well or rare or whatever have you. And,
you know, I am a pretty good partial sighted. It's getting, as the years go by, it's getting less and less. But I am not as keen with my sense of touch as you guys are, but also my sight is not good enough sometimes where I tell. But I've become a great, I do everything by time. You know, if you have a good constant fire, you know what that is, and you get you a little timer, you can do pretty well just timing stuff.
Yeah, I use my talking wristwatch while I'm cooking, too.
Yeah, I do, too.
And I use that quite a little wee bit. As I say, I really enjoy cooking, and you name it, I can cook it.
Cooking and exercise.
Cooking, and also you post a lot about exercise, so you must exercise a lot.
Well, let me put it this way to you. Back in 1999... I wound up with, say, cancer.
Yeah.
And it really threw me for a loop. In fact, is I was in and out of the hospital continuously. And the prognosis was not the best in the world. And I figured, okay, that's enough of that crazy stuff. I'm going home to do everything the doctor tells me I shouldn't do. So I started to exercise. And, well, he didn't tell me I wasn't allowed to exercise, but I was supposed to do everything in moderation. And it took me a year or two, and it changed my way of eating, and I'm still here 9 years later.
And cancer obviously is in remission and gone, or it's what?
Whatever. I have no idea. Every time I go, they say it's good.
It's good. That's all they need to
say.
That's
what counts.
Right. Yeah. And I do a lot of exercise. I try to at least exercise 45 minutes to an hour a day.
Yeah, that is a good bit of...
Well, for a guy that likes to cook and obviously likes to eat, that's probably a good thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that probably is a good thing.
Basically, my exercise room down here, I have a gazelle. I don't know if you know what that is.
I don't, so you tell me.
Okay, a gazelle is the most simplest, most inexpensive piece of equipment you can get, really and truthfully. Yeah. And what it is, it's on a frame, on a like a set of horses, you might say, with an axle going through from one horse to the other.
Okay.
It has a bar for each foot with a big wide pedal on the bottom, and a handle for each handle. And if you pull the handle back, your foot goes forward, and it's like cross-country skiing. You're going back and forth, back and forth,
yeah,
back and forth.
Okay.
It's kind of like a glider.
Like a glider.
Right?
Yeah.
Glider, right.
Yeah. There you
and
go.
And, of course, I got my trampoline. I got a tilt table. And
oh, is that one of those tables that will tilt you upside down?
Correct.
Yeah, I've seen those on TV.
And also a treadmill, and this is what I work with. And really and truthfully, of all the reading, I do a lot of research, too. When you're exercising, you should put a weight-resistant program together, and you should do that about every other day.
A what? A weight-resistant? What are you talking about?
Dumbbells.
Oh, okay.
Dumbbells for people, I believe you guys are about my age, if I'm right.
Yes, sir. I'm 67, and Don is in his 50s, and Pat is
65.
Okay, you guys are all within the age group, but really and truthfully, when you're exercising, you should do it to fit your body. I'll give you an example. When I first started out, I was using 3-pound dumbbells, a set.
Okay.
Well, over the years now, I'm up to 12-pound dumbbells. And there are certain repetitions you use and so forth. And what can I tell you? I love to exercise. I love to cook. And not only that, there's two benefits of exercise. And it keeps you in shape and keeps you away from your wife so you don't argue as much.
That sounds like a plan.
There's that. Do you read while you exercise, or what do you do? Listen to music while you exercise?
I listen to music because I got a radio station here that plays songs between the 70s and 90s.
Uh-huh.
And they usually have a darn nice beat to them.
Uh-huh.
Music I can't stand if I'm not exercising, to be truthful with you. And by just counting the songs, you can pretty much tell, well, four songs is 15 minutes.
Yep.
Well, pretty close if they run some commercials between them. Song's about 3 minutes long.
Yeah, just about, yep. As I say, it's about four songs and it's about, yep, 15 minutes. And that's how I keep track of my time.
So this is music you couldn't stand unless you were exercising.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's almost, it's not disco, but it's got that, like a hip-hop, like the big bass drum, boom.
Yeah, you know, boom, that boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
stuff that you hear,
yeah,
when you're going down the road in a vehicle,
right,
and you say to yourself, boy, that guy's going to be deaf if he's not already deaf.
Really, really.
Well, you know, it's real strange. I bought my wife here for Christmas a little set of dumbbells, and one of them, they start at 3 pounds, and then it goes to 5, and then 8, 10, and 12.
Mm-hmm.
And she's you know, right now, because she's fairly fit. She claims, she thinks she's not, but I mean, she, you know, 4 years ago she ran a 26-mile marathon.
Well,
and so she used to
well
be quite
fit,
a runner, but she works a lot now, and as we've grown older together, she's not exercised as much. So we have a nice treadmill, and she wanted these little weights, and she, and then her daughter is a school teacher, but on the side she is an instructor in like physical fitness, and so she wrote us out a little weightlifting program using these little 3 and 5 and 8 pound weights, and so we've been kind of trying to do that. I haven't been as faithful as I need to be.
Well, I tell you what I do sometimes in a restaurant, just for different, I'll order the 24-ounce beer. Just to sort of,
okay,
kind of,
that ought to help, because
sort of
you realize if you can't or don't have dumbbells handy, you could take that beer, have one in each hand, and start exercising by lifting it up and down. But you're not allowed to drink it until you're done exercising.
Oh,
that I, is think that, I think that shot may have been fired in my direction. I'm the 23-ounce beer guy.
That's sort of the exercise,
yeah,
I get. I'll order a large whiskey and soda sometimes.
Hey, the other night we had a couple. They were really good brewskis, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah, in the
Mexican,
biggest rainstorm I think I've ever been out
Mexican
in
restaurant.
My
you
life.
Just Mexican food and beer just go together, you know?
There you go.
And so we went and ate Mexican food, and I drank. That's the first couple beers I'd had in 6 months.
It's been a while.
I just don't drink beer anymore. I did my share. I did.
He kept them working nights.
Oh, I did. I had to. They were unhappy when I quit, but I just, beer just got to where I just can't handle it anymore. I'm just too old. So
well,
you
don't feel lonesome, because I grew an alcoholic intolerance. Have you ever heard such a disgusting thing?
No, I haven't. I hope it doesn't happen to me.
I hope it doesn't either.
You got it. You got this work. Got
well, I don't
system
know. I think I may have married alcoholic intolerance.
That's true. So you just got, your body can't handle it anymore, or what?
It affects my blood pressure for some reason.
Oh,
I don't know why, but it does. Oh, I still drink a little wine every now and then, but
yeah,
that could be a problem.
Yeah, I know. I just can't do it, so I just don't bother doing it.
Well, if you were a drinker, and I was, I've just gotten to where I don't like it anymore. I don't want to drink anymore, and so
yeah,
I don't much.
I'm a wine drinker myself.
Yeah.
Well, of course, I'd drink a half a glass of wine anymore, and it satisfies me.
Yeah, everybody's wine. Everybody drinks wine now.
Yeah, seems like wine's a big deal nowadays.
And it's just ridiculous. You go into a restaurant, like we have a Cheddar's here, and they have those all over the country. But we have, you know, it's like a steak and ale, the same kind of thing. And the wine is $4.95 a glass.
That's
$6 a glass.
$5 to $6
wow,
bucks a glass.
That's ridiculous, you know, for a little glass of.
Yeah, my wife drinks it, what's it, $8.99 a gallon.
Well, that's what I buy.
Hey, you're going across the border to get your wine, fella, if you're buying it a gallon, $8.99.
Well, they sell it right here in town for that at our local grocery store.
It's Inglenook Rhine Wine, and
oh,
she
okay
loves it. Yeah.
And it's $8.99 or $9 a gallon, and you get a lot of glasses out of it.
You would get a lot.
And you
of
know
glasses.
That's the same stuff the restaurant's buying.
Oh, definitely.
At $5 a glass.
Yeah, I used to get the Gallo red wine was my favorite.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And as I say, I can't drink it, so I don't buy about a gallon anymore. I got back down to 2-liter bottles or 1-liter bottle. And
it affects your blood pressure. That's terrible.
Yes,
I thought it was terrible, too.
It is. Strange problem to have.
It really is. All right, what else you do besides cook and exercise? You read books?
Oh, I read books, and not only that, I still do a lot of handyman stuff, but while I put in a, with my wife's sighted help, mind you, I just put in the transfer switch for my generator, so if the power goes out, I can just plug the generator in, and I'm back in business.
Okay, so if your power goes out, then you'd want to get yourself off of the main power source before you start that generator.
That's what the transfer switch is for.
Yeah.
And what you do is, mine's really not a transfer switch. It's really a manual switch. I was looking for a 60-amp service because I wanted to kick on quite a little bit of stuff in. The only transfer switch I could find was a 40-amp service. Well, that wouldn't do the trick.
Yeah.
So this has a manual switch on. In other words, you put the two fuses in.
Uh-huh.
No, 220s is what I'm talking about. 220 volts is what I'm talking
about. Yeah, two fuse on each side.
And there's 60 amps, and there's a 30 amp that I have my generator running off of.
Huh?
And this switch, you click into the breaker itself, and that only allows you to either turn on the 60 amp or the 30 amp.
Okay.
You cannot turn on both of them at the same time because that bar is in the way.
Yeah. And that's what you need because you don't want the electricity to come on while you're running your generator, running the house off your generator.
No, and you definitely don't want to kill the lineman either. If you're back feeding through your electric line, it's going to go back in. If they're monkeying with the power line, they could get a heck of a shock out.
I hadn't really thought about that, but that's true. They could, couldn't they?
Yes.
And you're wasting a lot using, so you don't want to do that.
Well, at some point in this experience, I've never done that, but it's, at some point in this process, you're not working with hot. I mean, you're on your side of the main breaker, right?
I'm on my side of the main breaker, and yes, I do leave it alive, but I kill the breaker that I'm working on.
Okay.
Then I turn around, unscrew the fuse, and unscrew the wire connectors, and then I can pull the wire out and transfer it over into the new sub-panel that has a special mechanic switch on it.
That would throw you to your generator.
That goes to my generator, yeah. And that allows the power from my main fuse box to come over to the sub-panel. And if the electric goes out, I have to physically come down and kick off the 60 amp and turn on the 30 amp, and then I can hook my generator up, and I'm back in business with the circuits that I want to have in that sub-panel. In other words, I have a sub-pump, I have my well pump.
And your refrigerator.
And my refrigerator and freezer in there, my furnace.
Which is all you want.
Which is all I need. And this way, I don't have to come back in here with the old plugs. You know how most people, they have a generator and they have to run cords all over the place. Well, I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm fixing to have to change my... We're fixing to build a new kitchen, and my electric box is full, lacking one 110 breaker is all I've got left. So I'm fixing to change... I got to change the panel, and so I might as well do that and fix it where I can hook up a generator.
Might as well.
Yeah, if I was you, I would just go in and get myself a sub-panel. What the heck? Square D. Now, Square D, I know, has this mechanical...
Yeah.
Bar that goes across. And a Square D, in my opinion, I put in electric gear for years, and I always liked the Square D box.
It's as good as any. There are only a couple makers, but Square D is the most prevalent, I think.
That's the one I prefer.
Yeah.
Now, when the builder built this house, he put a GE in here, and it works, so what can I tell you?
Well, the breakers for a square D box are simple to get. I mean, you slip the breaker out, tie the wire onto it, put the breaker back in, and bingo, you're in business.
Yeah, you're in business. All it is click in.
With a square D box, I don't know how the others are.
The GE is the same thing. All you do is snap them in. You put them on the bar, and then you push them right on into the center pole, and then you're back in business again.
Yeah. I note that mine has it's really funny. We built this house in 1991, and in about 2000, the big main breaker, I think it's a four-section breaker right at the top, went out, and the guy said, boy, I don't have one. Maybe Lowe's will. And so they went to Lowe's and found one. But they don't make them anymore, so I guess changing.
Really?
It's amazing how fast that technology's changing, you know.
Oh, definitely.
It sure
definitely.
Is.
But I'll tell you the difference between a transfer switch and this mechanical switch that I'm talking about. Now, a transfer switch, you can buy them, and you're talking $600-$700, okay?
Oh.
They'll automatically kick on from one line to the other. In other words, from the generator to the power line coming into the house, or if the electric goes out, then it goes instantly over to the generator.
I don't need that.
And the other one that I was looking at, which was a 40 amp, they were running somewhere around $185 to $300. It all depends where you bought the darn things.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that I bought, that doesn't include the breakers, mind you. The thing I bought, I had $70 in it, plus the breakers. So I had probably about, I'd say about $200 in it, maybe $150, somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
But well, I cut the cost way down at least by half.
I don't need the kind that automatically switches. I mean, that would be for sighted people who think their electricity is going to go off in the middle of the night.
Yes.
And they won't be able to find. I'm blind. I don't need that. I'm already stumbling around in the dark.
I agree with you 100%.
So when you do this, though, and you set it up manually, and I would really rather do that. And like saying, you've got the lineman protected, and you've got this. So the electricity goes off. I mean, you in a storm, whatever. So you go down to wherever. You flip the switch. And you're blah, voila, your generator comes on and you're in business.
Well, you got to shut off, now my hookup, you got to shut off the 60-amp breaker before you can turn on the 30-amp breaker, which is being fed by the generator.
Okay, yeah. That's good. Okay, now, though, all of a sudden, you know, 3 hours later, and you look across the street and your neighbors have got lights, or did you still have some circuits in your house that would come on and bypass the generator? Are you totally
isolated? Well, I don't know how many circuits I got. I never counted. But let's say there's 30 circuits in that thing.
Yeah.
All I'm putting in this sub-panel is I'm pulling five circuits out of this
main panel
and putting it into the sub-panel.
So if the electricity came back on in your neighborhood at your house, you would know it because other things in your house would come back on, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
In other words, if I had some lamps on, it would kick on automatically.
Okay. Right.
And then you would go down and reverse the process.
Then I'd reverse the process.
Okay.
I'd rather
do that on my own than have it called.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Anytime.
That's a wise decision, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. I misled you. If the electric does come on, because my sub panel, anything that's in my main panel that I didn't kick over to the sub panel, as soon as the electric comes on, it lights up.
It's there. Okay.
Yep.
We got you.
Yeah. Then I found this to be the less expensive system and something that really works well.
So
you cannot have both systems on at the same time. It's virtually impossible.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. How big a generator are you talking about running the stuff that you said you wanted to run?
Okay, my generator will run at 71 watts. I think that's what they call it. And when it's in running time, it's only 5,700 watts. But let's face it, the sub pump, the well pump, the refrigerator, the freezer, and all this stuff is not going to kick in all at the same time.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
So I feel that this generator of mine, which is probably a little over 30 amps, will more than run anything that I want to run in that sub-panel.
But now, you know, you say they won't kick in at the same time, but in a storm, all right, if you turn a refrigerator off, it's been my experience, it sits off for 30 or 40 minutes, you plug it in, that sucker's coming on. So how do you determine and say, what if your sump pump needed to pump? I mean, what if it was sitting there cranking, getting water, and it needed to roll out? So what would you do?
If everything kicked on all the time, you're going to blow the fuse in your generator.
Okay, so that's not a big deal, right?
That's not a big deal.
Okay.
Or else you're going to have what they call a brownout.
A part, something's going to come on and something's not, right?
Well,
or it's going to burn up.
Everything isn't going to run at max,
okay.
Or, you know, at full capacity.
Okay, on your generator now, okay, I don't know the electrical output of one, but give me a term in motor. I mean, how many horsepower the engine that runs your generator? What are we talking about?
I'm thinking, I bought two different pieces of equipment at the same time. It's either 11 horse or 10 horse that I got.
Gasoline, right?
Gasoline.
Okay. All right.
Now, if I had to do it over again and wasn't so tight, I think I would have bought a natural gas generator.
I've heard good things about those.
Well, see, where I live, we don't have natural gas available, but I have the neatest little 15 horsepower diesel tractor that will run a generator off the PTO.
Well, then you got her made.
Yeah, and so, those generators are about three times more than just a regular generator.
Whoa.
About $1,500, $1,600.
I was very fortunate. The generator that I picked up, most of the time you look at them, they're around $700. I don't know why they were selling them so cheap, but I picked this thing up for $399, well, $400.
Wow, what a deal.
And I thought it was a heck of a good deal.
Yeah.
And it does have a Yamaha engine on it, which is a good engine.
For that size generator,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely,
what a deal. Yeah.
And I'm quite happy with it. Oh, by the way, getting off of this story, have you guys had any snow down that way?
No. They talked about it.
No way.
We don't have snow. Maybe once every 10 years we'll have a little snow.
I thought you guys were down. Oh, you're by Houston.
We're 100 miles north of Houston, 120 miles north of Houston.
And so where are you?
Pennsylvania.
I'm in Erie, Pennsylvania,
okay.
And we only had about 26 to 30 inches of snow last Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, I hate that.
Well, get your generator to run a snow plow.
Yeah,
I didn't realize you could run them off natural gas. That'd be the thing for me to do since I have natural gas.
Oh, yeah, here in town, that'd be the way to go now.
Short of an earthquake, that's not going to be interrupted, you know?
That's right.
Correct, and let's face it, gasoline now, though. Now, this generator I have, like I say, it's rated at 5,700 watts running. That's after it starts up and all this crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And it only lasts for about 10 hours for a full tank of gas, which is 10 gallons. So you're talking about $30 for about 10 hours worth of generator.
Yeah.
And I think your natural gas is a heck of a lot cheaper to run.
Boy, that'd be expensive electricity, wouldn't it? Son,
yes. Yes.
You'd have to want it pretty bad. Of course, you know, we lost the only time we've ever needed that, we had little hurricane winds come through and our power was out 3 or 4 days. We lost everything in both freezers and the refrigerator. So, you know, would have paid.
You know, but as long as the electricity was out here, I don't think you could have saved it with a generator. I mean, after a while, it would have been, like you said, you know, you would have had, boy, we were without electricity, or some people were 7 or 8 days, you know.
Well, unless you had a natural gas generator, and then
you
put it on your credit card.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
See, one of the nice things about a generator, now this is my way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You run it for an hour and you shut the thing off for an hour. You run it for an hour, you shut it off for an hour.
Well, you keep your refrigerator going, wouldn't it? And freezer.
Yeah, so it keeps everything cold, and it keeps everything protected in the freezer and generator, and that's basically what you're after.
Yeah, that's a smart move right there.
But that's my way of thinking. That way it's only going to cost you $30 a day.
Well, but what did your wife think? Your wife would think about that. She wouldn't be able to see when the generator was off. See, that'd be
well. Then she'd go find out what it's like, isn't she?
Well, that's a point.
You know, though,
I don't want her to know how easy it is. I won't get any sympathy anymore.
Hey, there you go.
Talking
I
about
never
these,
gave that a thought.
These sighted people, though, you know, last year for Christmas or a year or so ago, the grandkids bought me a rechargeable lantern. And just on a full charge, it will last for 7 hours. But then if you have, it's a LED lantern, puts out good light, it would light up a room, not big. But you can also crank it. In a minute's worth of cranking, it'll last 5 minutes, you know?
Well, yeah, what a deal.
Yeah, I got one of those that also have a radio in it.
Yeah, I've got a radio. With a light on it. I don't know if it has a. The light would be big enough to do any good, but it's got a light on it.
I have isn't too awful bad.
Yeah.
Joyce can walk through the house pretty good with it. The only thing is, you got to sit there and crank the goddamn thing.
Well, I only think about the only reason I carry a flashlight is so the dogs will know where I am. Other than that, I don't need one.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So because the dogs can't find me if I don't.
The dogs know where you are.
Yeah, that's why I carry a flashlight.
Yeah.
All right, RJ, we're going to go, and we enjoyed visiting with you.
Yeah, good visiting.
Maybe
with
we
you.
Won't forget you again.
Hey, you guys have a good one, and I hope you do get a chance to run that. What payloader or forklift?
I hope I do too, and I'll give you a call. Thank you, sir, and we'll talk to you.
Okay, bye.
Bye bye. RJ never did get his last name, did we?
We don't know that, do we?
Well, the guy go without his last name. But if you're not on the handyman list, you should be. And blind like me list. blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
That's right.
Or blindlikeme-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. Either one, we'd love to have you on both lists. They're both.
Yeah, we would.
Handyman list is on topic. The blind like me list is just all over the road.
It wanders a bit.
Talk about anything you want to talk about. Anyway. Another one done, 227.
Great guess.
Yeah, man. Really good
RJ's got it. He's got it. Oh, you could say he's got it wired.
Got it wired.
Seems to be doing all right for 71-year-old feller.
Well, it seemed like in good spirits. I'll tell you, one thing of exercising. It'll also kind of boost your spirits a little bit, kind of get you.
Think that'd help me?
Well, nah.
Wait a minute, not for me.
I wouldn't rush out there.
All right. We thank you, Don Pat, Don Shaw. We appreciate you coming and visiting with us.
Oh, yeah.
We'll do it again next week. I'm Phil Park. See, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw.